Welcome to the Cowboy Chronicles. I am Scott Wright of The Oklahoman, joined by columnist Jenny Carlson. Jenny, it is spring practice week, or you could put game in quotation marks if you like.
I'm doing that right now.
Okay, very good. Done. my gunny says not enough depth for an actual game, so we're going to have a practice scrimmage type setting, and still get to have a look at everybody and check everything out. So a lot of stuff to look at in the first time seeing these guys on the field. And let's jump right in right there. Because there's a lot. Sean Gleason, Charlie Dickey, quarterbacks, defensive line, all things we can talk about. But of those or something else, what are you most looking forward to see at Boone Pickens Stadium on Saturday at 1 p.m.?
Well, no matter what structure spring games / scrimmages / whatevers take, I think it's always difficult to tell much about, you know, complete units, mm-hmm. both offensive and defensive, because
right.
You know, what if you're splitting squads or even if it's one versus ones, I mean, nobody's ever doing everything.
Right.
So it's really hard to tell sort of on a big scale exactly what you're dealing with. But I heard our good buddy Barry Trammell say this recently, and I think this is exactly the case. And I've been looking for somebody to put this into words for years, but really the among the limited number of things you can actually tell in a spring whatever is the throwers and the catchers,
mm-hmm.
quarterbacks and wide receivers. You can actually tell, is there accuracy in that quarterback? Is there ability to make catches in traffic in that wide receiver? So to me, it comes down to quarterback. We're not going to probably have an idea who's going to win the job come
right.
fall. I don't know if we can go that far off this scrimmage situation.
Right.
But to at least have a little clearer picture of what Spencer Sanders and Drew Brown bring to the table, I think is going to be really interesting, because we saw them, I mean, one snap in the bowl by
yes.
Drew Brown, and he handed the ball off. So we literally have no idea what these guys look like. You know, we haven't seen Spencer Sanders in any college situation. And Drew Brown has been in Stillwater for, you know, a year practically. You know, getting tutelage under Mike Yurcich first, then Sean Gleason. You know, not to say that Hawaii was a bad situation, but he may look entirely different than the film that's left from his Hawaii
right.
days. So I think the quarterback situation is actually something we'll be able to walk away knowing a little more. Again, maybe not the end game, but I think we're going to have a little clearer picture of what these two guys bring to the table.
Yeah, exactly. And there are going to be things that we're not going to know, whether a guy made the right read on a certain play or the right decision based on what Mike Gundy and Sean Gleason are wanting to see. But you're right. The throwing ability, the arm strength, the accuracy, the connection with guys on the field in situations is going to be the one valuable thing we're able to take away from this. I think that's going to be, this is the poster for all summer. This is what we're going to know about these guys until August, and really at that point, even then, we're not going to see a lot at that point. So it's going to be more of what Tylan Wallace says about the guys, and all of them are great at being politically correct and
sure.
and handling it right down the middle. So we're not going to know a lot after this until Oregon State at the end of August. So
well, and I think too, Scotty, don't you think that Mike Gundy really has to, for the depth of his that position, for the sake of it, don't you think they have to play it out all the
oh,
way
absolutely.
Through fall ball?
Absolutely.
I mean, even if they do have it, I mean, from behind the scenes, or maybe it's obvious on Saturday, man, this guy,
right.
this is the guy.
Right.
You know, maybe it is fairly obvious, but I mean, if you're Gundy, you don't have a ton of options there. So, you know, I think you have to play the game a little bit to have your depth there. Is that fair, unfair to the guys at the position? Maybe a little bit. I mean, but that's part of being a quarterback in college
yeah.
is, you know, there's only one. There's
mm-hmm.
really only one guy. So
right.
you understand that, and, you know, maybe that doesn't play out great for one guy. But for the big picture of the team's well-being, Mike Gundy really he's got to be mindful of that, and I'm sure he is. And I'm absolutely positive that's part of his thinking.
No, I think he's playing coy with us a little bit because he's brought it up multiple times unprovoked that whenever he knows who it is, he's going to name the starter. But I don't see that happening. Now, to his credit, he did that with Taylor Cornelius last year. Shows up at Big 12 Media Days and says, "Hey, Taylor's our guy," and really sort of said it in a way like we should have all known, you know. But
yeah, because we can see so much of practice,
right?
Mike.
And so I mean, to give him credit, he did do that. He decided it was time to say that, and he said it, you know, before Drew Brown was even on campus. Whenever we thought there was going to be this competition between the two of them, you know, and Spencer Sanders as well. But I just think, okay, let's just plan out the scenario. If we come out of this and they all of a sudden say Spencer Sanders is our guy, now Drew Brown is a senior and he wants to go play somewhere. He can't go D1, obviously, because he would have to sit out at this point, but he could go D2 and just play football. And that's what a lot of guys just want to do, just get that opportunity to be on the field. So then if those two things were to happen, you go into fall now with Spencer Sanders, who is a mobile quarterback who uses the run game to his advantage. He's had two torn ACLs in high school, and your backup is a true freshman who just showed up in January. And behind him is a walk-on that's in his second year. So, and then after that, I think Tom Hutton. I think the 29-year-old punter. I don't know. I'm sure he can throw the ball. I'm sure he'll be fine. I legitimately don't know who the next guy would be after.
Isn't that like
after Sean?
Isn't that like in a baseball game when they call the
yeah.
right fielder in
yes,
to
exactly.
pitch after they've used seven other guys?
Yes.
It's like, well, we got to use this guy for a minute. So,
yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
When you lay it out that way, Scott, I mean, there's zero chance that that Mike Gundy names anybody the starter before
yeah.
we're into August.
Yeah.
I mean, it might even be game week. It might
yeah.
even be game day.
It might be. It's actually absolutely possible.
I know you're the one asking the questions
no,
in this podcast, but I'm curious, what's your thought on Gleason trying to use both guys in some form or fashion? You've chronicled the fact that Gleason has had varying kinds of quarterbacks at
mm-hmm.
Princeton over the years, use them, been more than happy to use them that way. Obviously, the last time OSU had somebody that wasn't sort of that air raid passer
mm-hmm.
was J.W. Walsh. We saw how the Cowboys used him. But knowing what you know, is there a likelihood that they do anything like that, especially if Spencer Sanders is the guy, and you know you've only got Drew Brown this year? Do you try to find a way to use him in special situations at all?
I can see it being a possibility, something that they throw out there. You know, the big issue with that idea is that there's not a lot of variation between the two guys.
Yeah.
You know, Spencer Sanders is the better runner of the two, but if he's your starter and the better runner, you know, what does Drew Brown bring?
Yeah.
As the throwing guy, but I could see where Drew Brown could be a more physical runner, maybe in short yardage. He's a little more stocky build than Sanders, you know. And we'll see how they compare throwing wise. I think Drew Brown is good, but I don't necessarily know that he's
head and shoulders
significantly
yeah.
better passer than Spencer Sanders, to the point that you would say, all right, we need to do something here to change things up. So
yeah.
that would be the issue. But I think that for even going back to the reasons that we just talked about why they need them both, that's not a bad idea to have packages geared toward both of them and their individual skill sets to keep them involved.
Yeah, and especially when you've got an early season schedule that, you know, you could roll Drew Brown out on
mm-hmm.
the field for a series or two here and there in, you know, the first half, not
right.
not wait to just, you know, do scrub duty. I think it'd be good to keep him sort of feeling like he's connected.
Yeah.
Because it could be a really difficult situation for him if he's not the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think the widely held belief is he's probably not going to be the guy.
Right.
So, you know, if they could find some ways, you mentioned the Oregon State opener, but then, you know, they do have a chance to maybe you know, use him in some other situations that aren't sort of decided, McNeese State and, right. and Tulsa, obviously, before you get to Texas and you got to go to Austin, that yeah. Big 12 opener. Tough duty there. So, you know, just I think that being a fifth-year guy, it would be real easy to get sort of disconnected mm-hmm. if he's not named the starter. So yeah, early on to figure out, hey, you know, let's throw him in there when the game's still close right. and, yep. and the other ones are out there and see mm-hmm. what he looks like.
Yeah. Drew Brown, from all accounts, I talked to him a little bit before he got on campus. I've talked to, you know, people who saw him play, his college roommate at Hawaii. From all accounts, intensely competitive. So, you know, it's hard to envision a guy that's that competitive becoming disconnected, but you don't want to risk it.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be important. Now, let's talk about Sean Gleason for a little bit. He's spoken to the media once since he's been here. I feel like I know the guy because I called so many people from his past, his high school coach, guys that he worked with, all these different people. But I spent very little time talking to him the day that he was there. You spent more time with me. What were your some of your takeaways? What kind of guy Sean Gleason, the new offensive coordinator, is?
Yeah, very high energy. I mean, I think, but that's not to say that, you know, Yurcich wasn't. I think mm-hmm. Media saw Yurcich as a little more laid back.
Right.
Most of the time, he was a little bit more stoic, stone faced. A lot of times in situations, Gleason very energetic. You could tell that. Very engaged. And, you know, that first day that he talked was the first practice of the spring.
Yep.
So he was literally on the field for the first time with those guys,
yeah.
you know, in the hour or two leading up to when we actually talked to him. But the guys that I talked to, and Scott, I know you've had a chance to talk to way more players since then, but, you know, I think everybody that I spoke to and everything I've heard is that, you know, his level of engagement, his level of work, you know, he spoke to this that day, and I thought this was interesting. You know, he didn't shy away from the fact that it's a different situation. You know, you're coming in to run an offense that's already there. And so, you know, there is that level of, you know, you have to be willing to be that guy. And so I think he seems to be very, you know, okay with that, the idea that he could come in, he could bring some of what he knows and incorporate it, but ultimately he's learning from an offensive staff that has been productive pretty much regardless of who's running the show and who's throwing the passes.
Mm-hmm.
I did a piece last week that looked at the OSU offense and defense since the air raid came in. And with the exception of that year that JW got hurt and Dax Garmon, and then we ultimately saw Mason Rudolph come in at the end of the year, that's the one exception to having a top 20 offense. And more often than not, it's a top 5 offense
right.
in points scored. So this is an offense that, whether it's Taylor Cornelius or Mason Rudolph or Clint Shelf or, you know, on down the list of mm-hmm. guys, they are going to score points. So I think Sean Gleason seems to have embraced that. But it will be interesting to see. You know, there were some times, I think, and I was as frustrated as a lot of Cowboy fans with Yurcich and some of the play calling, some of the runs that you just thought, oh, my gosh, what is this? You
right.
know, like they've got an offensive line that can't block in some situations. They're sending runners up the middle for, you know, situations that you know aren't going to produce,
right.
leaving, you know, third and long, whatever. Why are you doing that? So there'll be some things that will be interesting to see how it evolves with Sean Gleason.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure we're going to see that much or learn that much in the spring game.
Right.
But that's interesting to me. Are there some lessons learned? Is there a different tendency when Gleason's doing it as opposed to Yurcich? I think that's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, obviously we both expect a whole lot of vanilla from the OSU offense on Saturday. But I think that this is a really important day for Sean Gleason internally you know, based on a lot of things that we're not going to see or know about, just how he handles the tempo of the game, and you know, is that up to the standard that Mike Gundy is expecting coming off of 6 years with Mike Yurcich when they were incredibly comfortable in what they were doing? You know, what's his communication like on the field from the booth? You know, and with the other coaches, with the quarterbacks, all of those things. So, going to be interesting. One thing Mike Gundy said that he had that he's doing this spring, which I thought was interesting, because you know they had a they had another scrimmage last Friday. We'll get to learn more about that on Wednesday when we get to talk to Gundy and the coordinators. But I asked Gundy if it was going to be just you know just scrimmage practice style scrimmage, or if they're going to have headsets and the whole deal. And he says they've been using headsets actually in team periods all through spring, because he feels like it helps the coaches get more comfortable with how they have to communicate and those sorts of things. So, you know, it won't be the first time that that Gundy and Gleason are on a headset together and you know, Charlie Dickey and trying to communicate.
You know, it's interesting, as you were saying that, it made me think about just small things that you might not even think about until a game day situation mm-hmm. in the stadium. I mean, think about the stadiums that Sean Gleason has coached in before.
Right.
You know, he's not going up to the fifth or sixth floor of a big stadium structure.
Right.
He's not having to run from the coach's box to the elevator to down to the – I mean, there's just all sorts of small things that, you know, are going to be different, bigger. Mm-hmm. You know, you just – not to say that he's not up to the challenge. I think he's a very smart guy. I think he's, you know, he's probably got more understanding right now than, you know, a lot of us who've been watching
right.
LSU offense for a lot of years.
Yeah.
You know, just the level of study that I think he's been doing. But, you know, you just think about how disconcerting it is just in your normal everyday life to go into situations where you don't know, like, you don't know, do I go left here? Do I go right here? How far is that over there? You're just, everything is different.
Right.
And it'll be interesting to see sort of after the fact. I don't, you know, they're not going to do a halftime where the coaches have to sprint down to the field
right,
like we
right,
oftentimes
exactly.
see them do. But, you know, stuff like that that you don't, it's small,
mm-hmm.
but yet you everything is new
yeah.
for Sean Gleason. The scale, the size, you know, the field's still the same size, but everything else is pretty much different.
Yep.
Players are bigger, faster. Stadiums do. I mean, everything is just scaled up in a big way for Sean Gleason.
On the defensive side of the ball, once again, you know, you don't expect to see crazy stuff that Jim Knowles has been dreaming up in his sleepless nights, trying to get ready for the 2019 season. But are there things that we can learn from the defense, you think?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a good question. And, you know, the biggest thing to me, I know, you know, we're talking about how hard it is to gauge in a spring game or scrimmage mm-hmm. situation, but to me, as much as anything that's going to be tough to gauge is, you know, the fact that they've got a major piece of their defensive line that is not going to be on campus
right.
and being a part of this. Now, I mean, good for the young guys that get a chance to get out there, get mm-hmm. more reps, be in that situation, but you had a great story over the weekend about Kyle Jr., about his football background. And, he is a guy who, unless something is really unexpected, he's the guy at the other end spot.
Yeah.
And so that changes a lot in what that defensive line is going to look like, and we all know how that affects your secondary, what they're, you know, able to do.
Right.
But I do think it's going to be – it'll be interesting to see how that secondary looks because, you know, even though Tyron Johnson has gone from the receiver core, by all accounts, that receiver core is going to be really good again.
Mm-hmm.
So how are they able to handle those guys, even in a scrimmage situation? I'll be curious to see. I mean, I think if anybody took any really, like, off-the-charts positive vibes from the bowl game, it should be the secondary.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lost guys to ejections, targeting calls.
Mm-hmm.
We're playing with guys that weren't probably expected to be out there a
mm-hmm.
ton and really afforded themselves well against Drew Locke, a guy that's going to be a likely first-round NFL
yeah.
draft pick. So, you know, it will be interesting to see if there's the – not just carryover from the bowl, but just – are we continuing to see them evolve and improve? Again, how much we'll be able to tell, I don't know, but you know, not letting guys run wide open,
right?
Contending, you know, contesting passes that come their way. There are little things I think we can see. How do those guys in the secondary do? You may not be able to stat it all that well, but you can sense, hey, there's not a bunch of guys that are just running James Washington wide open down the middle of the field on Saturday.
And the defensive line, as you mentioned, is going to be an interesting facet. It's been one of, I think, the underlying storyline of this. It's probably ultimately even bigger, I think, than to their success, a bigger storyline than even the quarterback, because I think that both of those guys are good, and whoever comes out of that is going to be a good player. The defensive line is in total makeover mode at this point. They've got four guys who've got any experience in Division I football. They'll add a fifth with Kyle Jr., who, to piggyback on what you said, yes, I think he walks in and wins that job, over the summer and into August. Tyler Lacey, I think, is going to be a talented player, and I think he can really benefit a lot from getting to spend a year with Kyle Jr. And because they're similarly built, I think they're going to end up being similar types of players. I mean, you're talking about a 270-pound guy who has spent a few years playing, all different positions on the line, playing defensive tackle against teams like Maryland and Michigan State, when he's just overmatched in that type of situation. So you get him on the end where he's able to use his speed a little more and not have to be, getting double teams and those sorts of things by 300-pound guards. It's going to really change the perception for him. So that's going to be important. Obviously, Israel Antoine, I'll be able to see kind of how he's used. That's going to be a fascinating thing now that we know that he is going to be eligible this fall.
OSU defensive line had a pretty good week.
They had a great week. They had the best possible week they could have had, and it had nothing to do with anything that they did in practice. You get Kyle Jr. to commit to as a grad transfer on Sunday, and then Wednesday, the NCAA comes down with their decision on Antoine.
Only thing that could have been better is like an ice cream truck shows up and just starts handing out treats at practice.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like, literally, it was two starters.
Yeah.
Two starters that, boom, everything that you wanted to happen. I mean, you'd been talking, Scotty, about going on that transfer portal and finding another defensive lineman. And they not only got one, but they got one that is, easy to see slotting into that starting spot. So, unbelievable couple days for the defensive line.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to try to find out over the next couple of weeks who deserves credit for this. Somebody at Oklahoma State deserves a lot of credit for doing their homework on Kyle Jr. because they knew that he had a political background and some political leanings. And out of nowhere, they bring Burns Hargis to his recruiting visit. And basically, from talking to Kyle and his dad, EJ, that was what was one of the biggest selling points. EJ, his dad, said, shortly after their meeting with President Hargis, that Kyle leaned over and told him, he's like, I think I'm going to cancel the rest of my visits. He had a couple of other visits scheduled to I think Washington State and a couple of other programs, and he basically said, I'm good. I think this is the place I'm supposed to be. So, Burns Hargis had a background. He had got an accounting degree from Oklahoma State, spent some time in banking. He also got a law degree from OU, spent time working in law. And those are two things that law was an interest of Kyle Jr.'s. He hadn't even considered the idea of getting an MBA. He obviously has to be in a master's program at OSU. And so now he's looking at an MBA based off of this conversation with Burns Hargis, said it was something he never would have even considered until that moment. So, whether it's, I don't know, Patsy Armstrong doing that type of research, that would be something that could very well fall into her role, or, recruiting analysts that are scouting these guys. I don't know who. I'm going to try to find out because I think it was fascinating and a really smart move by Oklahoma State to make that happen.
Well, and lots of times these grad transfers, they've been in school.
Right.
They have a clearer idea of, clearly Kyle Jr. knows – if I'm going to play at the next level, it's not going to be as a nose tackle.
Yeah.
So football-wise, he knew what he had to do. He had to get to somewhere where he could play defensive end.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State fit, but so did other schools. Yeah. But then you start talking about, you know, and this isn't to say that high school recruits don't have a clear vision, but I think that when you've spent 3-4 years in a college setting, you know, you're starting to think about not only the football stuff but the life stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's probably a whole different recruiting ball game.
Oh yeah.
I mean, man, maybe some guys are different. Maybe some guys you can recruit solely on the football stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you're doing many of these grad transfers or even just transfer portal guys for the most part, I think that may be a whole new twist to the recruiting trail because, you know, you're not dealing with 17, 18, you know, year old kids who are awed by the college life, by the campus setting, by a big stadium. They need more. They need more to convince them that this is the place. I was fascinated by that too, Scotty, when you had that in your story. And, you know, it just speaks to, you know, you think about, you know, a guy like, say, Darian Daniels. I know he went to Nebraska because his brother's there.
Mm-hmm.
But you wonder, like, was there anything that Nebraska did when he shows up that might have been more tailored to him or to any of these other guys who are transferring? I just think that's smart recruiting. And it really paid off for OSU in this instance.
Yeah, it absolutely did. Kyle Jr. expected to graduate in mid-May with his political science degree from Bowling Green and then start making plans to get to Oklahoma State in June, which will be a big benefit from his perspective because he's really excited about a summer with Coach Glass. Now, a couple of days into it, he might not be as excited anymore.
I was going to say excited might not be the word that comes to mind. He
really feels like he's got to change his body a little bit from trying to be this man of all trades on the defensive line to really focusing what he needs to be on the defensive end for Oklahoma State. So, I haven't asked Mike Gundy as we wrap this up, how much punting we're going to get to see. I'm still fascinated by Tom Hutton and everything about him, and really looking forward to hopefully getting to see him kick. You usually see some field goals attempted in a spring quote unquote game type setting, but we'll see about the punting because I'd really like to see this guy in action. When Mike Gundy brings up the punter unprovoked on the first practice a weekend, I'm hooked. So,
well, and you know, like you said, there's not much special teams that happen in spring games, scrimmages, whatevers, but that was an area special teams last year. We won't leave spring knowing any more about OSU in that regard, but that's an area next fall they have to be better in.
Oh,
they
absolutely
were just not good on days that I covered their games. I thought, you know, there were a couple of times later in the year I thought, maybe today's the day I get to give them a good grade in the report card. And by the end of the day, I'd be like, nope, not maybe a C. There just weren't many days where you got to say, job well done, special teams. But I'm like you, intrigued by the 29
now. He is 29 now.
29-year-old punter from down under.
Yes, the punter from down under.
Punter from down under. There you go.
Yes. So we'll see. We'll see how things go. 1 p.m. start. You got baseball against Texas at 3 p.m. It's a big weekend, big Saturday at Oklahoma State. So. But we'll have some more leading up to the spring game. Fire another podcast out your way. So thank you, Jenny, for joining me. Thanks to Paige for putting this all together. And thank you for listening to the Cowboy Chronicles.